You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Last week, Conservation Minister Tama Pōtaka announced plans to add feral cats to the government's list of pests to be eradicated by 2050. The decision follows a campaign promise from Prime Minister Christopher Luxon made in a debate in 2023. Feral cats pose numerous wildlife risks when compared to other predators such as rats or stoats. In addition, their larger size makes trapping more difficult, meaning new techniques will need to be developed. To discuss the change, why it's important, and how it fits in with the larger predator-free 2050 mission, producer Castor spoke to Professor of Conservation Biology at the University of Auckland, James Russell.
What's the difference when we're classifying between feral and stray cats?
There's different ways you can consider how we classify cats. One of them is kind of where they are and how they behave, and for that we kind of have feral cats at one end, pet cats at the other, and stray cats existing in this ambiguous area in between. Another one might be just whether you consider if this cat has an owner or not, or someone that would take responsibility for that. So in that regards, we have feral cats out in the wild and then pet cats that someone owns. And ultimately what we're worried about is the impact these cats have. So any cat with teeth and claws can go out and kill birds or reptiles, and for some cats that just depends on their behaviour. But certainly all feral cats in the wild without an owner are likely to go out and be catching a bird or a reptile, and that's really what we want to cut back on. We want to make sure cats of any kind are not having an impact on biodiversity, but certainly we know all feral cats are having an impact on biodiversity.
And what kind of dangers exactly do feral cats pose, especially like compared to other predators we see in Aotearoa?
Feral cats are a really voracious predator, so they do what's called surplus killing. So they can go out there and they don't just kill an animal that they need to eat, but they kill many animals because they're a top predator and they really, really enjoy it. But at the same time, they're a valued companion animal, and so that's why they've sort of been in the in-between basket, where because of their impacts, we want to manage them as part of making New Zealand predator-free. But on the other hand, we don't want to be removing all cats from New Zealand, and we also want to make sure we have the tools and the ability to manage them. So whereas the previous predators that have been part of predator-free New Zealand, the stoats, the rats and the possums, we know their impacts are widespread. We know that they're not pet animals for many people except for some pet rats. And we know that they are present all across New Zealand. Feral cats are ones where their areas where they impact in New Zealand are quite specific, so only certain areas of New Zealand. So that's why until now there's been a hesitancy about including them. But as we move to more and more areas having rats and stoats and possums managed, we're now seeing these impacts of predator cats, feral cats, be higher.
You mentioned also that it's not just feral cats that have an impact on bird populations. It'll be other cats like house cats and pet cats also there. Obviously, those probably won't get added to the predator-free list. But are there things we can do to, I guess, reduce the impact of house cats, pet cats on our biodiversity here?
Absolutely. I'm a cat person myself, and so when I have cats, that I want to keep them indoors. I want to make sure they've got bells around their neck. I want to make sure they don't get to go out at night when birds are much more defenseless for them. So it's just being a responsible cat owner, and in particular getting your cat microchipped would be a really key thing, as groups are doing cat management, and that can encroach quite closer to where pet cats are. They might use non-lethal methods such as live trapping. If your pet cat ends up in one of those live traps, you want to make sure they scan it and see that it's your pet and can bring it back to you promptly and just find out why it might have been roaming.
A lot of people, you know, think that cats are very useful for controlling rat populations. Is that true? You know, can cats provide a benefit for our conservation efforts?
There is a widespread misconception that cats actually control rats and mice, and they might actually be helping birds. And I've done a number of studies myself, as well as many others, that show that's not the case. Obviously, if it were the case, the introduction of cats would have been really beneficial when they first introduced them to control rats. But we know that's not the case. And what cats actually do is they tend to scare rats and mice away. So although having a cat in your house means you don't see rats or mice anymore, it's not because the cats actually controlled them. It's because those rats and mice have been scared outside your house, where they're probably up in the tops of trees eating even more birds' eggs in the nests. And so although cats scare the rats away and stop them being a problem for humans, they don't actually solve the conservation problem of rats and mice. So instead now you just have mice and rats and cats eating the birds. And so it is important that we make sure that these cats are managed alongside the rats and mice. And as we know from conservation work on islands around New Zealand, the best solution for the maximum conservation gains is to remove as many of these predators as possible, just so that you don't get any surprise, unexpected effects.
And so thinking now more broadly, I mean, how does this change fit? You know, our government's done some things towards conservation. Does this fit with the broader picture?
We're very lucky in New Zealand, I think, that there's broad support across the political spectrum, bipartisan support for predator control. So we're really seeing the benefits of that occurring across the country more and more projects are achieving and sustaining the goals of predator elimination. Adding in cats to the mix adds a little bit more complexity. What we do have to be aware of is that predator-free New Zealand is not the New Zealand conservation strategy. There's other threats such as invasive wasps and invasive plants and invasive freshwater species and other threats that aren't even invasive species. They can just be climate change and pollution. We'll continue to manage all of those threats. But the predator-free goal is really about targeting particular invasive mammalian predators that we can realistically remove from the entirety of the country. So at different sites, people are definitely targeting those species, of which, as well as the rats, the stoats and the possums, cats will now be added, but they're welcome to target other species such as hedgehogs and mice where there's local biodiversity values that would benefit from those other species being managed as well. With cats, we'll have to explore some new technologies to do it, whereas we've got well-established methods for rats and stoats. For cats, we're having to look at work done in Australia, where feral cats are the number one predator, and also some pioneering work done by the Department of Conservation National Eradication Team on Auckland Island, where they have just pigs and cats and mice. So they've been developing some really new and quite funny sometimes message, like exploding kangaroo sausages that are really attractive to cats. So we're looking at these kinds of new tools, and they'll be the kinds of things that other projects will be bringing on board as we work to include cats in the predator-free New Zealand strategy.
Yeah, and then thinking about the predator-free strategy moving forward, obviously, I mean, it's in the name, right, predator-free 2050. How on track are we to reach this goal by 2050 or even earlier or later?
I think 2050 is still a realistic goal and at least a point where we'd really be assessing how far we've got. But it's very difficult to kind of future gaze beyond about 10 years. And so it's timely that the New Zealand Department of Conservation as the lead agency implementing predator-free strategy is now coming forward with its new strategy from 2030 onwards for the next 5 years. But we're seeing some really great wins. The community's really brought into it. There's 33% solid awareness around New Zealand of the Predator-Free New Zealand program. I'm down in Franz Josef at the moment today, and I've just been out to Okarito. They're the first predator-free towns in New Zealand where stoats, rats and possums have been entirely removed. And the bird life, to be honest, has just been astounding. I was in the office of Zero Invasive Predators today, and a bellbird just tried to flew into the house to have a look around, which is something I'd never experienced before. And we were out in Okarito seeing all the birds just calling in the middle of the day, a time of day when usually birds are silent. So places like this are really setting the bar for what we can achieve and showing that you can roll it out across tens of thousands of hectares. And now we're going, well, where's the next prize? Where can we expand further? Should we be heading down into Fiordland and aiming for a million hectares? So I think predator-free is really gaining momentum and continuing on the right direction.
And that was James Russell from the University of Auckland on Conservation Minister Tamapō Tucker's announced plans to add feral cats to the government's list of pests to be eradicated by 2050.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/becasts.